It is truly good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm looking across the audience, I see we do have a few people that are visiting. It is always our intention, always our desire, to make those of you who are visiting feel so welcome, that you will want to come back and worship God together with us again. My sermon this morning is going to be a study of an extremely important subject that I talk to every congregation I've ever worked with. I talk to them about at least once a year, at least usually at New Year's. Every New Year's, I try to encourage the congregation that I'm working with to have a resolution of to see how much closer we can get to God and how much closer we can get to each other. I want you to realize that both of these are never-ending journeys. In our life as Christians, we're always trying to draw nearer and nearer to our God. And the same thing is true in our relationship with each other. We should be always trying to grow closer and closer to each other as brethren. We're going to open the text here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Here, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit tells them that God's desire is for them to increase and to abound in love to one another. And then again, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And then finally, John 13, 34 through 35, by this we all know that you are his disciples, if you have love for one another. You can see from all three of these verses that what God desires for us in our relationship with each other is to honestly, sincerely, truly love each other. And so what we're going to be doing in our lesson here, we're going to be seeing how that can be brought about. How is it we can draw closer to each other as brethren in the family of God? First, I want to encourage you to see over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. The verse says here, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 24 is talking about stirring one another up to love and good works. And then he goes straight from that to talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In every congregation I've ever been a part of as a minister or a member, in every congregation there were brethren who just really didn't come very often. As a matter of fact, they came often enough to keep from being withdrawn from. I'm going to tell you something. If you do not come to the worship services, you're not going to be very close to the brethren in the congregation. Because, quite frankly, you won't really know them. I love assembling with you. I love worshiping our God together. But I'm just going to be quite frank. I enjoy being with you. All of you, you are my brethren. I look forward to the times in the week when we can be together, when we can speak to one another and be in one another's presence again. You will find that if you have not got connections in a congregation to where you are close to at least two or three or four or five brethren in the congregation, it's going to be very easy for you to leave that congregation. If you really don't know one another, then you're not going to feel part of the local congregation. And sometimes you will start having this mentality, the me, they, the us, they mentality. And that is the idea of, yes, I worship with them, but, you know, I really don't know them. And so I'm over here in my world, and they don't know what's going on in my world, and they don't care what's going on in my world, and really, I really don't have much to do with them. I just come to the building with them every now and then and worship. If all you do is come to this building every now and then, you're not really going to be close to the brethren. One of the main things of our worship service is doing it together. We're worshiping together. We're singing together. We're praying together. God wants His people together. And if you forsake that coming together, you're not going to be close to the brethren. It's just that simple. and leaving the congregation would be quite easy to do. The closer you are to one another, the more brethren you know and have contacts with, and the more you love each other, the more difficult and less likely it's going to be that you're going to leave the congregation. And so please realize, your assembly is necessary for you not only to get closer to God, but closer to your brethren. Going over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Here the text says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Do you know what I read into silence? I never read good into silence. Going off on a brief tangent, Proverbs talks about how open rebuke is better than hidden love. Why on earth is open rebuke better than hidden love? Well, at least you know what they're thinking. At least you know where they are. Hidden love doesn't do anybody any good. To have true love between brethren, we have to know one another. And to know one another, we got to know where each other is. Where are you actually in your life, in your struggles, in your problems, in your fears, in your spiritual battles? Where are you? Nobody is really going to grow close to you and encourage you and comfort you and edify you, but we don't even know where you are. And we can't know where you are if you don't talk to us. And we can't know where you are if you don't worship with us. If we never see you, we never hear from you, and you're out there on your own. Let me go off and put this another way. Wives, do any of you ever read good into your husbands being quiet and not talking? Do you ever think, he's sitting over thinking how much he loves me? No. Anytime there is silence, women especially always read negative into silence. Men also, by the way, do the same thing. Silence is not good. No open communication and talking is not good. If you are on the peripheral, when I'm talking about peripheral, I mean you're not up in the core, you're not interacting a lot with the brethren, you need to realize on the peripheral you are in great danger because we may not, and quite frankly, don't really know where you are. And we cannot help you if we don't know where you are. We cannot comfort you if we don't know that you need comforting. We can't strengthen you if we don't know you need strengthening. To do comforting and edifying requires us knowing you need it and where you are. And not being with us, and not talking to us, and not interacting with us. If you don't interact with us, we're really not going to be close at all. Because quite frankly, we really don't even know you, and you don't know us. The point I'm trying to get across to you is, our relationship with each other must extend beyond the building. Coming together is just part of it. To where we're with each other, and we enjoy being together, and we enjoy worshiping together, but we realize we need each other. We need one another, even away from the assembly, and quite often more so when we're away from the assembly, because that's where it really gets tough. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor giving preference to one another. All right. Brotherly love. Brotherly love is, you are my brother. You are my sister. We are family. In my physical family, we are tight. We are very close-knit. And if my sister is in trouble, guess what? I'm going to be there. And if I'm in trouble, she's going to be here. We're going to be there for one another. That's part of brotherly love. Do you consider yourself a part of the family, or are you just watching us from the outside? I'm going to say that again. Do you consider yourself a part of this family? We are a family of brothers and sisters. Or are you just watching this family from the outside? If you are an outsider in your mind, come on up here amongst us. Come on up here among us as your brothers and sisters, let us get to know you as part of the family. Let us draw closer to you, bring you into our life and our life into yours, to where we actually become family, not just casual acquaintances who see each other now and then. In 1 Peter chapter 4, by the way, I want to go back to 12 and 10 in Romans. I missed over the last phrase here. Giving preference to one another. Oh, yes. Preference. And the idea of preference is your family. You come first. There are people in the world that I will be there for and try to help. But quite frankly, when it's my family, family gets top priority and preference. You are my family. You get top priority. You get preference. Now then to the text in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Short verse, but such an important verse. Do you understand what hospitality is? Hospitality is away from the assembly. Hospitality is in your house. Hospitality is time together with one another. And the idea is, I'm inviting you to come in and interact with me and do things together with me away from the assembly. And I would like to invite you into my house even, to where we can get to know one another better and enjoy one another more and spend time together. The American culture, quite frankly, stinks in many regards. And one of the ways in which I do not like it is because we are so fast, so busy, we do not have time for anybody. Sometimes our own flesh and blood family, we don't have time for them because we're so busy. And so if we have no time for our own flesh and blood family, how much time do we have for our brethren? And the answer to that question is zero, none. Hospitality means you're welcome in my house. I want you to come into my house, not just my house. I want you to come into my life to where we can spend time together, eating one another, getting to know one another, talking to each other. I cannot overemphasize the importance of spending time together as brethren away from the assembly. Because if it is not done, you're just going to be people who know each other and see each other casually, and you're not even really going to be friends. You may be polite to each other, but you won't even truly be friends, much less be brethren. Brethren is describing a very tight-knit family. And that's what we're trying to get to where we really are, tight-knit family that loves each other, that gives preference to one another, that wants to be with each other, even out of the building. In Acts 2 and 46, speaking about the early church, he says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now look at this. I went from house to house. They spent time eating together. That's describing a relationship beyond the first day of the week. This is not saying don't work at your secular job. This is not saying don't spend time with your physical family. This is saying make time for your brethren. They get preference. You need to realize we are a big family. You got a lot of brothers. You got a lot of sisters. Now, I'm just going to state a reality. This is a big building. This is a really big building. You go ahead and you measure it. Let's see. I would guess, looking at it from a football field perspective, it's about 30 yards long. So what that means is, those that are sitting on the back of the pews over here are 30 yards from the people that are sitting over here. And there's one door. And so, what it means is services are over. You can be out this one door. You never even talk to the people in the middle or the over here. Or the people on the back side can get out real quick. The point I'm trying to make is you may not even know each other. Do you even honestly even know who the people are that worship with you? Sometimes I almost feel like saying, hey, Ball Knob, let me introduce you to BB and Pangburn. Because we live in different parts of the state. Some live in BB, some live in Ball Knob, some live in Searcy, some live in Pangburn. Get to know one another. Make the effort. I've told you this before. I am an introvert. I can be in my office all by myself all day long without another human being and be quite happy. I have to push myself sometimes to get out and to interact with people. Push yourself outside your comfort zone. Push yourself to get to know to one another. Introduce yourself to the brethren you don't know. Get your directory. Go home and look at it. And if there's people in the directory you don't know, you take the initiative to get to know them. You take the initiative to find out who they are and go up and introduce yourself to them and start talking to them. I'm going to tell you something. As the preacher and the elder, I get to know a lot of you better than just about anybody else because I spend more time across the board with a lot of you. If you don't know each other, you're missing out on something really special. I'm going to brag on you for a moment. You are some really, really good people. I mean, if you weren't, I wouldn't say it. You should know that by now. But you are. You are awesome, good people. Wonderful, the salt of the earth. And if you do not know this about the brethren, come on up here amongst us. Spend time with them. Find out who they are. And you'll be so glad you did. You are God's people. God's people needs to get to know one another. It's tough enough out there in the world as it is without spiritual family to lean on and draw strength from. Okay. Now then, Ephesians chapter 4, 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I am going to tell you now something that you may not like to hear, but it's the truth, and that is we sin against each other sometime. I was just telling you how wonderful we are. Guess what? We're not perfect. The reason I can say that, as long as I'm here, you're not going to be perfect because I got problems. But I kind of have a gut feeling many of you, if not all of you, have your own set of problems as well. And sometimes, quite frankly, we don't behave toward one another the way we should. We may even go as far as sinning against one another. All right. Well, how are we going to handle those moments when we honestly have a brother or sister sinning against another brother or sister? We have to be willing to forgive them. When they are seeking reconciliation and apologizing, forgive them and let it go. We need to learn to pass over the transgressions that are done against one another. Because sooner or later, you're going to have somebody in this congregation, and maybe several somebodies, who are going to hurt your feelings. And that takes us to the next phrase. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. We've already talked about forgiving one another. That has to do with someone's actually sinned against you. When you forgive someone, they've sinned against you. Forbearing one another is something else now. Forbearing one another is, you kind of got on my nerves there. That was annoying what you did. I don't really like what you did to me. It wasn't sin, but it really was irritating. Now then, I'm going to tell you another reality. We can all be that way sometimes. Nobody here is absolutely awesome, perfect, never say nor do anything wrong to where your personality is just so awesome you never hurt anybody's feelings. I will get on your nerves sometimes if you're around me long enough. Forbear me. I'm sorry, when I'm playing you in cards, I intend to stomp you. And sometimes you may be talking to me and I may not be listening. Sorry. And you may be talking to me and you may be in the middle of a very important, serious conversation and you realize I'm kind of zoned out, huh? Because I may be even still thinking about the person I just got through talking to. So if I ever call you by somebody else's name, just look at the last person I talked to, and what that tells you is they're still in my mind if I call you by their name. Okay, I'm just confessing to you personality quirks. You have them as well. We've got to forbear one another and not say, I don't want to be around that person. They get on my nerves. Okay, they get on your nerves. Now then, learn how to deal with it. Forbear them. Love them in spite of their weaknesses. Isn't that what friendship's all about? A friend loves at all times. A friend knows you the way you really are. They know the good things about you, and they know the really stinky things of your personality. And they still want to be your friend at all times. We need to be more than just friends. We need to be family. Family's wonderful when you realize the security of it and the love of it and the care of it and that you're not alone. You're surrounded by a lot of people that care about you sincerely. Going to the last part of the verse, he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. If you've got a complaint against somebody, and they say they're sorry for what they've done, let it go and it's not going to be brought up again. Matthew says in chapter 5, 23 through 24, your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. So you're coming to worship God and you realize there's something that you've said or done against your brother. You're the one who's the one that initiated something that was wrong or said something that was hurtful or even did something that was sinful. When you realize, yeah, I actually did that, have the humility and brotherly love and character and strength enough to say, I'm sorry. Those moments when we, notice I didn't say you, when we blow it, have enough brotherly love and humility to be able to simply say, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry if it hurt you. Isn't that the way physical family is? In physical family, when we blow it sometimes, it's extremely important to be willing to say, I'm sorry. And when those moments happen, be willing to say, okay, now then, let's go forward. Now just think about this. You are not going to go forward if you cannot forbear one another and forgive one another. All that's going to happen is everybody's going to be angry at everybody and nobody's going to want to be around anybody. Because you're going to be thinking, well, that person hurt my feelings. Yeah, okay. That person hurt my feelings. Yeah, okay. And so what are you going to do? Just stay home alone? That's not the way family works. When I was growing up, my sisters got on my nerves terribly. Picked on me incessantly until I got bigger than them. But you know what we do about that today? We laugh about it. We joke about it. Even when you come into my office, there's a little sign on the floor that says, "All bless his little heart." And that was making a joke about what they used to do to me to make me angry as a child. We laugh about it. You know why? We're family. I love them. Are we not family? If we call each other brothers and sisters, then don't you think we should be brothers and sisters? How about it? Let's be family. Okay? Part of the thing that family does is we help each other. And sometimes the problems are physical problems. In Matthew 25, 41 through 45, he says, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. If you know there's a brother and they don't have enough food, what do? You go to your pantry, you take part of the food that you've got, and you share it with them. What if you got a brother and they have no clothes? You share with them what you've got. What if you have a brother and they're sick? You go and you visit them, and they may be so ill that they're not able to cook. Then you take food to them. Now, if you don't know this, again, I'm going to praise this congregation. I see you doing it. I see you carrying food to people after funerals. I see you carrying food to people that are physically ill. I see you up at the hospitals. I see you visiting the sick. I see you visiting the lonely and the widows. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being real in your relationship with one another. To where if someone is in need physically, we will be there for one another. That is one of the beauties of family. Of knowing I'm not alone. I got family that cares about me, that will be there for me in times of physical trials and problems. Galatians puts it this way in Galatians 6 and 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, he says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Now, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12 is the goal we're trying to get to. That's the goal. To where when one member suffers, there's one of you, all of us suffer with you. Now I want to tie this together. Earlier I talked about being on the peripheral, coming every now and then, not even really knowing the brethren that are here. You are in a dangerous position spiritually and physically because you are choosing to put yourself in an isolated situation. Do you know that you can have cancer and not even know it? It can be there eating you up inside and you don't even realize it's there. And as soon as you find it's there, then you start doing everything you can to deal with it. We cannot bear your burdens if we do not know what your burdens are. We cannot bear your burdens if we do not even know where you are and what's going on in your life. We are not mind readers, and we have not got spies watching you. The only way we can know where you are is for you to come into our lives and interact with us and tell us. Tell us where you are. Let us know where you are. Let down our barriers to where whenever we are struggling, we can let brethren know about this. And then when we realize there's a brother or a sister and they're hurting, they're in need, all the members are working together to alleviate that need as quick as possible. That's bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. This is one of the main ways we get closer to one another, because I guarantee you there's going to be a time when you're going to be the one in need. It may be physically, it may be emotionally, but it may be spiritually. But there's going to be a time when you're going to be the one in need. And you are going to greatly appreciate it when people come quickly to your aid and help. 1 John 3:16 or 17 and 18 says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. All right, calling each other brother, calling each other sister, saying I love you, that's all fine and good. That's love and word. Now, let's have love in deed and in truth to where we don't just call each other family and call each other brothers and sisters, but we actually live that way. We actually do it. All right. Let's go to the next point. Sometimes it's not physical problems. Sometimes it's emotional wounds. 1 Thessalonians, going back to it in chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another. And then 1 Thessalonians again in chapter 4 and 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. And finally, Romans 12 and 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I want you to notice comfort and comfort has to do with emotion. And then weeping has to do with emotion. There's going to be times when brethren are going to be emotionally hurting. Often, you will not know what to say. That's quite all right. Job's three friends, when they came to Job after he had lost all of his wealth and after he had lost all of his children, they did pretty good for the first 7 days. You know why? Because they didn't say anything. It was when they opened their mouth that they started messing up. There are going to be situations you cannot fix. You do not have to fix it. Weeping with those that weep is simply empathy. I'm hurting with you. You are not carrying your pain alone. You have those around you that care about you, that hurt with you, that feel your emotional struggle and pain. That's part of carrying burdens. Not all burdens are physical. Quite often they are emotional wounds of grief that the person is struggling to carry. And let me tell you, grief can weigh down, as Job said, like the sand of the sea. All the sand of the sea could not be measured to how much grief he felt. That's a pretty heavy burden. You may not be able to fix it. Quite often you can't fix it. But you can care about them, can't you? And you can let them know, I hurt with you. And then finally, helping each other spiritually. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Here we're dealing with a brother that's struggling spiritually. Sometimes those that are struggling spiritually, we pretty much have an idea something's going wrong, especially when they stop coming to services altogether for months. Something seriously wrong. They need encouragement. They need exhortation daily while it's called today. You remember the 99 sheep and the one that went astray into the mountains? Who gets top priority? That sheep that's gone astray into the mountains. Brethren, look around the building this morning. Look at the building and see who's not here and who hasn't been here for months. And I'm begging you, go after them with me. Call them. Go see them. Let them know we miss you. Exhort them and encourage them, because I guarantee you they're going through extremely difficult times spiritually and other difficult times that we may not even know what's going on. And they're here and ready to sink. I call this sometimes getting down into the trenches. Getting down where they are and helping them fight whatever battle it is they're struggling with. James says in James 5, 19 through 20, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, that's not on there, go to the outline. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here's a brother or sister, and they've turned from the truth. The next phrase says, and someone turns him back. That someone who turns him or her back is someone who goes to them, talks to them, encourages them to come back to worship with us again, to come back to the Lord. And then also ask, can I help you? Where are you? What can I do to help you get back? What can I do to help you in whatever struggle it is you're fighting? Years ago, when I was watching television one day, it was the 50th anniversary of the D-Day invasion of France. And the reason I remember it is because there were these older men who fought in the Second World War who hadn't seen one another in decades. But when they saw each other, they ran to one another, grown men, and fell on one another's necks and started weeping. What was I seeing? What I was seeing was soldiers who had gone through a great battle together. And it did not matter how much time and how much space separated them, that bond was there between them. And it could not be severed. If we are ever going to get close to one another, we are going to have to bear one another's burdens and get down into the trenches beside one another and help each other physically, weeping with those that weep emotionally and encouraging those that are struggling spiritually. And when we do this, an amazing thing happens. It forms bonds between us. We draw closer to each other as a family and as an army unit functioning together. And we will get so close to one another that even if somebody moves away and goes to another part of the country, when you see them again in the future, you will run to one another and hug each other. Because the love is still there and the bonds are still there. Because you went through a common battle and struggle together. Brethren, please realize this is a never-ending effort of getting closer to each other. Loving one another, not just in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. For this to be accomplished, you've got to be here on the Lord's Day. You've got to be here and worship with us. You've got to be part of us. You cannot isolate yourself and stay away for months and months and months and then never ever interact with people when you are here, have nothing to do with anybody when you are away, and expect to stay faithful. The solitary soldier, the isolated sheep, is the most easiest to defeat and overcome and take away. But when you are surrounded by fellow soldiers, when you are surrounded by family that cares about you, you can stand more easily. And you can be more faithful more easily. Please, I implore all of us, get to know each other. Have a relationship with each other that extends beyond the assembly. Come to the assembly, yes, but be more than just the people that come together for a few hours. Be family. Be brothers and sisters who honestly know each other, love each other, care for one another, and will sincerely, truly be there for one another in times of need. I remember one of the things that used to be said about the congregation over at the Central Church of Christ. This is years ago when I was here the first time. You know, we had a reputation in Arkansas, and the reputation was this, and I remember it. That's a tight-knit group. They love each other. Let's make sure that's our reputation. That when people come here and visit, they can sense and they can see these people care about one another. It's real. They honestly love one another. Because you need to realize that love for one another is the way the world knows that we're honestly Christians, and that is the way we reflect the light of the love of God. And it is the love of God that's going to draw people out of the world and out of the darkness to our God. So when we sincerely love each other, please realize this. This is one of the ways that we can draw the people who are out in the darkness and out in the coldness of the world into the love of God, where there is family, where there is someone that honestly cares about them, their God in heaven, and their spiritual family of brothers and sisters. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who's not a member of the one body, if you have read the gospel and you've come to realize that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God, If you are willing to openly confess your faith, repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sin. If you're a child of God already and you realize there's sin between you and your God that you haven't dealt with, we want to encourage you to deal with it. You're with family. We really do care about you. We really do want all of you to make it to heaven. And if there's anything we can do to help you make it there, we'll do it. We're not just saying those words. We mean it. We'll get in the trenches beside you. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you. We'll strengthen you. We'll do the best we can to help you live the Christian life. If there's sin between you and your God that needs to be dealt with, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. And we really will do the best we can to encourage you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.